and welcome back to Patrice's Playlist. I'm Patrice, and this is season two. We're in season two, and this is episode four, and I am so excited to share with you guys my friend Tanya Ilyashova. So you know the track that's been playing in the background titled Home, featuring the singer Yvonne Park? Well, our friend Tanya is the producer of this song. And I don't know that many female music producers, and I don't know that many female music producers that love God and are so sincere and so incredibly deep and rich in insight. And so she and I hadn't talked in a couple of years. She's based in London and around London. And this was so great. You guys get to hear our reunion of sorts, but then she also just shares her journey, her faith walk, and gives us some really incredible tools and insights and invites us into something in terms of practicing something as we're pursuing our dreams. And so I'll make a quick note of that towards the end of this conversation. Because we go a little bit long, my outro is going to be super, super short, but I know that you're going to be encouraged by this conversation, and I cannot wait for you to hear it. So here is my conversation with the beautiful and talented Tanya Ilyashova.
So I'm working currently on so I'm writing music for a few production music libraries.
Okay.
Do you know what they are?
I mean, I think I've seen like websites online, I think, about what they are, but can you explain to me what they are?
So these are the companies who provide background music for anything from TV, adverts, commercials, any background music for any video. Hotel background music. Obviously, it varies from high end, low end.
Yeah.
So it's that.
How did you find, like, how did you get into it? I mean, I know, like, everyone's sort of super connected, but, like, how did you even know about that?
I have no connections in that world, to be honest.
Yeah.
So I kind of sat down and I realized I've been doing a lot of production, a little ideas, like, here and there, but I didn't want to release them as an artist. I wanted to keep producing, to get better at what I do and try out different music genres that I normally don't. Yeah. Basically to do musically what I normally don't do.
Yeah.
And so I completed two albums of work. So it's like 30 tracks. Went on a mixing course.
Oh my gosh.
Things about mixing and mastering. And then I submitted these albums to a few libraries, and then it's kind of whether you're going to get accepted or not, or they can come back to you and say, this is cool, not quite our style, so
sure.
You're like, okay, fine, I'll try something else. Or they might say it's great, but because of the pandemic, nothing is going on, kind of. Okay. There's no work, so
yeah.
Let us know, maybe email us in a couple of months.
Wow.
So yeah, it's been exciting.
And you've been busy. Okay, I was like, what are you doing to fill your time? Are you just watching Netflix?
No. It's filled.
It's filled.
It is. Filled with music, arts, and long walks in the nature.
That's good. By the way, I am obsessed with your 2017 EP. We've talked about this, I think, when I was with you. Because I think that's the year that I might have seen you last. 2017
probably.
Or 2018. Yeah. Or 2018 maybe.
Yep.
Yeah. And but your EP, where's my phone? I was listening, because it's rare that I have CDs, like recent CDs now, and I have your CD of your your EP of Traveling Light. Mm. And I don't know, it's not getting big, but it's there. Yeah, and it's literally one of my favorite like EP. I need it to be like 10 more songs longer, because I literally have worn that sucker out. Like I hadn't played it. I wanted to sort of prep a little bit, you know, for our talk and for our conversation. And I hadn't played it maybe in just in a few months or so. And again, I can go through that thing 3 times, like easy. And it's so good, Tanya. I wanted to ask though, because for season one, I used one of Bianca's tracks, Run and Hide, her live version, to intro and outro this podcast series. But I'm changing the music each season. And so I wanted to know if for season two, I could use your home track as the intro and...
Sure, go ahead. Would be my pleasure. Of course.
Use it. My gosh. Okay, I'll make sure I send you like some real, like we'll make it like legit. And so it's like in writing. Because I think too, I know Yvonne Park is on that. She does vocals on that. And so I just want to make sure that you both are cool with it being on the intro and outro, but.
Yeah, that's great. Sounds so good.
Thanks. Okay. Oh my gosh. Yeah. This is okay. But this is how gangster I am because I already, I've already had some conversations for season two and I'm starting to edit some of them or edit the first one yesterday. And I already put in your song as the intro and outro. And I was just like, I hope Tanya says it's okay.
Oh, of course it is.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Okay.
Okay. Well, to be honest, you know what? I think I will release another 10 songs. Well, they're not songs, they're instrumentals. It's just kind of soulful, easy listening music. I think it'll be on nothing too serious, not Spotify, not like another album, but it'll be released, I think, on SoundCloud.
Yes.
Yeah, so you can carry on listening to.
Okay, I will. I'll find a way to like also probably put it on my phone. Or I have SoundCloud on my phone already, but like, man, I literally just go through your music like for a whole day. It's so good. Okay, so anyway, I'm beefing up all your music and people are like, who the heck is this person that Patrice is talking to? And so yeah.
No, funny enough, I think as an artist on Spotify, you get these monthly reviews of how many monthly listeners you've had. In 1 month, I get this. I don't know. Usually it's like done and dusted. So I didn't even think people would still listen to it. And it's like 50 new listeners. I was like, okay, hello. So it's you.
It was me spreading the word. But just so you know, like when I premiere season two later in the summer, you might see a little uptick because they're going to be hearing that song for at least 2 months. So it's going to be great. I'm so excited. I'm so glad you said yes. So, so for people that don't know you, and also I was already practicing the intro to your music and I was saying your last name and I was like, am I saying her last name right? Ilyashova? Like,
Shova, yeah. Ilyashova.
Ilyashova.
Okay. That's one.
Okay, I'm going to leave my intro the way. I think I kind of said it like that. I told you, I was ready, girl. I was like, please, Jesus, please let her say yes. And I'm glad she did. Okay, so who are you? How did you get into music? We've been talking about like music production and all this, and people don't have a grid for who you are and how you're in the UK right now. Can you kind of just kind of walk us through some of that?
Yeah, sure. It's actually kind of a funny story because I started, well, arts came first. So I do a bit of arts, paintings. And so I'm from Latvia, as you can hear from my accent, which is mixed with British now. So it's like,
yeah,
it's a bit odd. But anyways, Latvia is a tiny little country in Eastern Europe. And I come from a very mixed family. So my dad is half Ukrainian, half Polish, half Belarusian. My mom is half part Russian, part Latvian.
Okay.
So, and I was born in Latvia. So all of that, Ukrainian last name. I've been studying art. And at the age of, I think, 13, which is quite late, my parents decided that, she's quite musical. And we have this music school kind of institution or thing that there's art school and there's music school. So they asked me, they said, Tanya, do you want to join a music school? Maybe do you want to play keys? I said, no way. And there was this whole drama. And when basically I said something like, I have to apologize to all musicians for that, but I did say, I don't want to be a musician ever. All musicians look like losers. Well, these were my words, partly because I didn't have much representation in Latvia of what music industry is like, what creativity in music could be like. So all I could see was these really miserable young people who were forced to practice classical piano day and night, basically.
Yeah.
So yeah, I decided I'll never be a musician, and I actually said it. I was like, I'll never be a professional musician. So there was that. But anyways, as I started, I just got so sucked into, I guess, the world of music. And I started playing keys in church. And then someone, the MD at the time, introduced me to gospel and neo-soul music, which is very unusual for a Russian church in Latvia to be playing gospel, R&B, neo-soul. So all these artists, D'Angelo, Rafael Sadiq, Music Soul Child,
oh my gosh,
Richard Bona, Kirk, Fred Hammond. So I knew them from, I don't know, since I was 16.
Wow.
So yeah, that was that. And then I used to listen to a lot of R&B, Destiny's Child, Missy Elliott.
I love Missy Elliott.
He was my, like, the tops. Yeah, but I never intended it to basically to become a musician. I always thought I'll do my ministry, I'll play in church. And because I went on to study economics, so international economic affairs.
Wow.
So I studied 4 years, got a degree, started working in a bank.
Oh my gosh.
But by that time, I wasn't just playing keys in the church. So I kind of took charge of the music department.
Okay.
After a few years.
Wow.
So me and my band, we would be like touring a few like Eastern European countries, like Russia, Lithuania.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. But even then I knew that I'm doing this just for fun.
Yeah.
So yeah, until one day I decided, well, actually I can't see myself doing music in Latvia, because I felt like the kind of music I like, I can't play it in Latvia.
Really? There's not a big market for it?
Or I can, but you're not going to get paid.
Yeah.
It's like mainly it's classical, jazz, or Latvian pop.
Okay.
Which was never really kind of my vibe. So then I had two choices, America or UK.
Sure.
And America is just too far, too expensive. And I didn't know whether I would end up actually becoming a musician full time.
Wow.
So I thought, that's fine. Well, another funny story is when I first went to visit my friend, who's a singer, Latvian singer in London.
Okay.
When I came back, again, I said to my parents, I'll never live in London.
Oh man, I see a track record here.
Yeah. There's another one, but it's just so funny. And I was living in London 2 years after that. And I was studying. I did 1 year of like a quick contemporary music course just to see what's the music industry like and how does it work. And can I be a professional musician, or what's my level of skill, I guess, because I just didn't know.
Wow. Oh my gosh. So, okay, keep going. Yeah, keep going. that takes us here. Does that take us to like you now here? Like how did you find this network of musicians that you're connected to like now?
So my original plan was to go to UK to study for a year and then to come back and I guess lead the music sort of ministry as an MD, continue doing that. Uh-huh. And the pastor was expecting me back, and he was, yeah. Anyways, and then I just decided that, yeah, I just really want to see if this is my thing.
Okay.
Because I just didn't know. So after my studies, so I studied for a year, and it was in Guildford. It's a place that, it's a town, not in London. So it's outside of London. So I decided, okay, if I want to do music, I need to move to London. So after 2 years in Guildford, I moved to London, left all part-time jobs, any sort of financial security. Well, to be honest, I need to backtrack just a little bit just to give an idea of what is it like? Because first 2 years when I arrived, my salary was miraculously, I found like a part-time job in retail along with my studies. And my salary was, well, in pounds, it was £360. Do you know what that in dollars?
I feel like that is like
500. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. That, something around there. But for the week or for how, yeah, like
a month
for, oh
yeah. And to be honest, stuff I've done, and I don't even know how I survived. Well, I guess I know. It was my, when you're so desperate,
yeah,
that's it. You don't see anything else but, you know, your goal or your aim.
Yeah.
So it was, oh gosh, it was crazy. I had a little box room. I was living with, I think, 5 other people at the time, which was a massive culture shock for me because they were all from, you know, different ethnicities, places in the world. And
sure,
I was used to living with my parents.
Yeah.
Suddenly the culture shock of different ways of doing life, the different standards of cleanliness and all of that. Right. Yeah. So I paid, I remember my room was £300 a month, and then I had 60 pounds to live on. Now my school was 45 minute walk from my house.
Oh my goodness.
One way. That's just one way. Oh, no. So basically every day my choice was either to take a bus, which was £2, or to have lunch.
Oh my God.
So I was walking every day.
Yeah.
And it's like up the hill, quite a steep hill. So you go to school, you just kind of go down the hill.
Oh my gosh.
When you're coming back at like 11 p.m. after all your rehearsals, after all the fun. Then you're just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
This is draining.
Oh my gosh. So but in that place, like when you were in these classes and all that stuff, were you starting to connect with musicians besides like who you're living with, or does that come later still?
No, I did connect. And obviously instantly they were people who were into gospel and soul music.
Oh.
And some of them were Christians. Most of them were Christians, and others were just admirers of like old music, snarky puppy, and gospel music. So jam sessions. Okay. Yeah. So it was fun. And some of these people, we're still friends. Yvonne she used to go to ACM. So yeah, we've done a few gigs together, and still now and then I think we're doing gigs. Yeah. Well, before the pandemic.
Right.
Yeah. So it was fun. It was hard. I knew exactly at what time in supermarkets they would reduce the food. Knew exactly it would be 8:30 p.m. in one of the Tescos, and then it would be 7:30 p.m. at Sainsbury's or something like that. So that would be my time because I just could not afford anything else.
Yeah.
And it was crazy. It was tough. £60 a month. Yeah. It was mad.
Oh my goodness.
And that was for, I think, a year and a half or 2 years. Well, that was it. Until I got my first function gig. Do you call them function gigs?
No. What is that?
It's like a wedding, but it wasn't a wedding. It was like a party.
Okay. So yeah, we would just say a gig, like an event gig or something. But
function is like more specific, I guess, a type of a gig. But anyways,
okay.
And then I remember getting my first at the time 150, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm rich. And oh gosh, I have some crazy stories of me borrowing keyboards and trying to take both 2 keyboards on a train along with a stand and an amp because I didn't drive. Then after a gig, missing my train, the last train. And
oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was wild. It was just wild. And getting my first car in UK, but I've only driven in Latvia on a different side. So I had this amazing idea. I decided, oh, I don't have enough money for insurance to pay £2,000 for car insurance here. Yeah. So I thought, I'll just get my car, I'll drive it from Latvia. Yeah, it's just to give an idea, it's 2 days of driving, nonstop driving. So I did it. And then, yeah, the car was old. It was falling apart.
Oh, no.
And it caught fire quite a few times.
Stop.
Yeah. It's
caught fire.
I have a lot of these stories. I really do.
This is fascinating, because then how do you continue to persevere and like push? I know you were just talking about like you want it so bad. And I feel like there's artists and musicians that are listening to this conversation or that will listen to this conversation and are in that space. They're in that season right now. Yeah. Like they have no money. COVID's made everything a lot more complicated. They know they're figuring out their passion, but like, how did you stay like grounded and moving forward in that? Like, you're here talking to me, and we're talking about earlier, you know, your album that you produced in 2017 or this EP that you produced in 2017. And so I'm trying to figure out connecting the dots of, you know, how you keep moving forward. Like, do you have people around you? Is your family, you know, incredibly supportive? Have there been friends to kind of come and help you out in that season? I'm just trying to give people some like hope if they're in that season right now. Like, you know, like how did you do it?
So my family, they are amazing, but they're very reserved, extremely reserved. So there's not a lot of verbal affirmations or... Sure. So, and I needed it, I would say, as a creative, as a Enneagram 4.
I was going to say, I was like, who are you? What's it? You're a 4.
I think I'm a mix between 4 and 1, but I'm pretty sure predominantly, 4.
Yeah.
So I knew that I couldn't rely on like a verbal support and just... It was more of a quiet support, but they're still great. I do have to say that I have been extremely, I'm not going to say lucky, I would say blessed, because I just had people around me who would, sometimes they were not like the same people throughout the years, but just amazing people who became, I guess, my family in the UK, even if it's like for a period of time. Mm-hmm. And it was, I guess, the first time when I acknowledged the value of people and relationships and community. Suddenly I was like, oh my gosh, actually, because all my life I've been mainly like, I wouldn't say by myself completely, but you just get things done. It's a lot quicker on your own, right?
Yeah.
But then in the end, it's almost like there's no fun. And, you know, you miss. We're all human and no man is an island. Mm. And I think I really felt it when I when I moved to UK. All my friends and family are back home. But yeah, I've been really blessed, I think. Yeah. And churches and how one encounter led to another.
Sure.
Yeah, there are loads of stories.
Yeah.
I can say God has been so, so good. And I was able to sort of find my kind of people, to find the church that I really love and the people. And yeah, it's been quite a journey, because when I moved to London, as I said, I left all my part-time jobs. I had no gigs in my diary.
Sure.
And I didn't know anyone in London. So I think I spent first 2 weeks of living there in a complete fear. Mm-hmm. Like I was just, yeah, freaking out. Oh, what am I going to do? I just paid a month's rent, but I have nothing else. I literally have nothing else. And then I just decided I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray and ask God. Well, first thing is this my path? Am I supposed to be, you know, living here and doing this music thing? Is it your will, God? Or is it just my desire, but you actually want me to go back to Latvia and minister and serve there? So I had to figure that out for myself, mm-hmm. which actually helped me in any tough situations. I just knew that this is my thing. Mm. So when I know that, shall I say, this is my place to be. Mm-hmm. And when I'm sure about it, I know that he's going to help me. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
So you had spent some time praying in that season is what I'm gathering. And like God confirmed to you basically, like you were in the right space, whether it was, you know, through someone in community and in church life that was also kind of confirming that word, or was it just something that you knew on your own? How did that sort of that settling of like, yeah. okay, no matter what happens, no matter what hell I have to face, mm-hmm. I know this is where I'm supposed to be. Like, how did God, did you hear it? Did you feel it? You just knew it. You had a scripture to stand on. Like, what did it look like for you?
I wasn't even in a church back then. So it was, I just moved, as in I wasn't in my current church. I didn't know anyone in London. So I remember I prayed a lot and I was just seeking Lord. And I said, well, God, if this is your will, you will provide. Mm. You will, the gigs are going to come. And I have no idea how, because I don't know anyone.
Yeah.
And then I saw gigs coming in miraculously from places.
Okay.
Yeah. And at first it was maybe one gig a month. Okay. But it was just enough to pay my rent.
Wow.
It grew from there. Mm-hmm. Then I found this random teaching job on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Great.
I'm doing it still part-time. One day a week. Yes, one day a week. And I got my first gig in London through Facebook, uh-huh. through Facebook audition, right?
Yeah.
And it just from there... A good friend of mine who actually gave me my first gig. You know Faramy, right?
Mm-mm. I don't think so. Meet
so he's a drummer.
Oh, I did. Yes.
Producer.
Yeah.
Then he introduced me to CCF to come on. Okay. Then I met Lucy. I met Ayana.
Yeah.
All Bianca, all that community. Then Emmanuel, who's from church, he introduced me to Guzzy, who gave me a lot of gigs and a lot of support, and he's still one of I would say he's my mentor.
Okay.
So yeah
that's pretty amazing. I mean, what I'm hearing is like God, and we've heard this before, at least I've heard this before, of like God gives provision for the vision. I know it sounds super cheesy and corny, but I think that's what your life is sort of displaying, that you know, you might not know how it's all going to fit together, but like you trusted that, okay, this is where I'm supposed to be. And if this is where I'm supposed to be, God's going to provide. And again, mm-hmm. like he provides for the thing that he's actually calling you to do. And I think that's really important too, because I think after a time, if you're constantly hitting like a brick wall and there's like nothing that is mm-hmm. opening or breaking, you know, over, I'm curious actually, how long is this journey, like from you, I guess, coming from Latvia to moving to London? How many years was that? Because I just want to give people some sort of context in time. Yeah. Like, did that happen in 6 months or less and you were like good to go, or was this years?
So I left Latvia in 2011 or 2012.
Okay.
Then 2 years in Guildford, then London.
Okay. So
now I think it's 8 years? 8 years in? Something like that, basically.
8 years in.
Yeah. But it was, The whole trust thing is so interesting. I had to make a very conscious decision. Obviously, I saw that God showed me that he will provide, and yes, this is my place, this is my path, this is my thing to do, this is my time, mm-hmm. and the country. But there were so many situations where I would look at my diary and I have no gigs. I have a little bit of teaching, but literally no gigs, and the new month starts like tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then it's just a very conscious decision not to freak out, not to fear.
Oh, okay.
And that's it. I just refused to do it. I
wow.
gave it, like, I would give it every time I would face these sort of feelings. I would say, no, God, you spoke. It will be enough, and it will be more than enough, because I know that, you know, you are my source of income. You are my source of provision.
So good.
And he did. There was not a single month when I lacked anything.
Wow. Yeah. Dude, that is like miraculous. That is so miraculous. Okay, so let's talk about then a little bit of your spiritual journey and your faith journey, because you've already been alluding to, you know, church family and church community. But like, what was your experience with Jesus? How mm-hmm. did you find faith? I'm gathering that you had a Christian family, but yeah, let us know, like, how was that whole journey as well?
Yeah, so Christian family, yes, even though my dad, he's sort of a believer at heart. He doesn't go to church. Mm-hmm. My mom, oh yeah, definitely. And then I have two sisters. The whole journey, so I've been in ministry pretty much all my life.
Okay.
So I always knew that there is God. I've experienced him. I have had no doubt. And when I did, at times when it was really, really tough, then I just prayed and I kind of pressed in his presence, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell us a little bit more about that. And then also how you experienced God, because you said you had experienced God at a young age.
Yes. So I'm not one of those people who would like fall down and shake or like, say all of these things.
Yeah.
I'm really not. But how did I experience? So the first time I experienced God when I was six. So when I first gave my life to Jesus, my mom took me to church, and you know, there I was. And after that, I just knew that I experienced God. I still remember it, and I do not know how to describe it, because it's
You were 6 years old.
Yeah, because it was more than a feeling.
Okay,
definitely. It was an experience, whatever that means.
Yeah.
But then, it was definitely a journey, and I had my own moments when I had to decide, okay, am I just kind of doing church?
Okay.
Or is this something that I really believe in? Like having a relationship, personal relationship with Jesus. And that took years. Okay. Definitely. I would say I struggled believing because of certain experiences and because of how my Russian church in Latvia was. I don't know, people who know anything about Soviet Union and the culture that it brought, because it, you know, it fell apart not too long ago. I was born in Soviet Union, so it's a specific, culture, and I would even say spirit of like, I'm not going to go into detail,
sure.
But I would say I had a slightly distorted image of God.
Okay.
After that, even though they are great people, but they just didn't know any better.
Yeah.
I think. So it took me quite a while to actually start to believe that God is good.
Oh,
and not just he's good. I would say, yes, he's good, but he's good to me.
Ooh, I felt that. I felt that for me right now. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, there were a lot of painful moments, a lot of painful situations, and it was a lot easier to sort of say, so where are you?
Yeah.
you know, why and all of that.
Yes.
But yeah, it took me, I would say it took me a while. And prayers from a few friends for that specific, even for that specific thing. You know Bobby, right?
Yeah.
She prayed for me. She's been amazing, honestly. Oh. And yeah, I just, again, I saw the value of community. Wow. Community, accountability, fellowship. Sometimes, honestly, you can't fight certain fights alone on your own. You just can't.
Listen, I literally was just having this conversation with my family just a couple days ago. And I just felt like the Lord was reminding me how much we actually like need people. And it's like, and it's okay. Because for me, I'm a 3, by the way, on the Enneagram. And it's like, you know, deception is like one of the things that we struggle with. And I think also image, you know, making sure that we are always, you know, looking good and we don't necessarily need the help of others. And I think you sharing that right now, honestly, is, I just feel like the Holy Spirit's on that for me personally. I don't know about anybody else, but for me personally, where I've had to just pivot and like course correct a lot of things. And I love what you just said. Like there's some fights that you actually cannot do alone. And I think that's actually really purposeful because in the end, I believe that our destinies or the purpose that God's called us to is actually connected to other people. And it's for other people as well. It's not just an insular for me, you know what I mean? Like, it's not just for you. Yes, you get to enjoy the gift of making music, but you know, halfway across the world, this crazy girl named Patrice is getting ministered to because of your music, because also I can sense the spirit that's behind it. Like, and that's blessing my soul and it's uplifting my spirit with, you know, and it's not just about you. It's now you're starting to see like how God is connected you to other people to help bless them, to help encourage them. And I'm just kind of getting hit to that again, because I just felt like the Lord's like, you're starting to get a little bit selfish in the way that you're viewing the thing that I've called you to. And it's not just for you to, we get to enjoy the gift as well. But again, in community, it's actually so much sweeter as well. Yeah. And when someone gets to also, I think too, like you mentioned, you have a mentor as well. And I talk about that a little bit with some of my people. I mean, I mentor people as well. And excuse me. And I have mentors for different areas of my life. And I think that's vital. You talked about earlier, like the MD, you know, at your old church, at your home church, that I'm curious, like, where is he from bringing in all this gospel and R&B? And then also like, do you just like happen upon mentors? Cause I know some people are just like, I don't even know how to find a mentor. Or does God just like supernaturally bring you one without you even being aware? Like, just share a little bit about that, the MD that brought all this like soul to you. Cause again, when people see you, that's not, you know, from my first glance, I would not even suspect your history and your connection to soul and neo soul. We talked about this, you know, in person once, but, and I'm fascinated by it, but yeah, this MD and some mentors. I'd love for you to share about that.
So he is Russian to the bone. I know, but he was and still is an exceptional musician, writer, producer, all of that. And he just had an insanely good taste in music. And I was never into music how I guess a lot of people are until I heard Kirk Franklin.
Yeah.
Until I heard Music Soul Child, his album, and D'Angelo. And suddenly it's like, yes, this is the music I love. There I go. I'm a musician now. And then Herbie Hancock, obviously all of that, the jazz.
Stop it.
I didn't even play jazz until, I don't know, start playing it properly until a couple of years ago. But it was always in me when I would listen to these Yellow Jackets albums, like, on my way from school in a what is it, Walkman CD?
Yeah.
That was funny. So he introduced me to that music. And okay, let me think. I think it's just music. I fell in love with it. And in the UK, I wouldn't say he was my mentor,
sure,
the MD, but he's definitely someone who influenced me.
Yeah.
Now, when I got to UK, well, okay, about mentors, I would say there are a few things that come, I guess, to my mind. One is you become sort of, let me word it correctly. It's almost like birds of a kind flock together. No, that's
not. Oh, yeah, yeah. Birds of a, I know what you're saying. Birds of a feather flock together. Yeah.
That's the one. I think you attract your own tribe.
Yeah, I agree.
That is one thing. The other thing is you are free to choose also your tribe. You are free to choose who you want to be around. And who you just, and who you would like to just stop communication, even if it's for a while, for a season. Yep. You just have to be really wise. And after a while, I started paying attention to people around me, how they are, what they are, what they're on about, where are they going? Mm-hmm. And and then I started praying about for God to bring people in my life who would affect me in, I guess, in a good way, who would direct me, and just for him to bring good people
in my life. Come on.
Whether it's for life or for a season, who I could help, and they would be helping me in any of areas. Could be musical, could be spiritual, could be just emotional. Uh-huh. Yeah,
that's key. Number one, I'm like yes and amening you all the way, because I love how connected you are to prayer. And I talk about this in a couple other podcasts because I just feel like, for the life of the believer, for those that are following Jesus, it's not like if you decide to pray, you know, in the word it says, when you pray, you know, pray this, like you're going to end up praying, you need to pray. And I find that there's so many believers that are not engaged in a prayer life, either for a variety of reasons, whether they're just, they don't know, they feel like they don't know how to approach it. They're fearful, you know, all whatever, you know, kinds of reasons. But I feel like you're just reminding us like how sweet, how I almost want to say like we are made to pray and connect with our God. Like we were made to do that. And the way that you describe it, it's just, it's for you, it's just as normal as just like breathing, or like, it's just like, hey, this is what I did. So I prayed about this.
It wasn't always like that.
Okay.
Can I say that?
Yeah, please.
It's because I had certain people around me who influenced me in that area. Mm-hmm. One of them is Bobby, definitely. She doesn't know that she has mentored me, but she has.
Yes.
Unofficially. Definitely.
Yes.
Yeah, she's just incredible. And I think as a four, Enneagram four, for those who know, we are very like feely, in tune with emotions, blah, 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 all of that. Yes. And for a long time, even though I knew that I love God and I'm all in, but I would pray when I would feel like it. Yeah. And it's almost like sometimes I would start praying and I'm just like, this is boring. So, oh, well, not today.
Yeah.
Basically.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I would mainly pray when there was something really pressing. Uh-huh. Which is cool, but you know, if you have a friend to whom you only go to when, oh, I need to fix something, can you do this for me? It's like there's no real relationship.
Oh, that's good.
Get to know them, their character.
Oh.
And you don't know, get to know their, I guess, the beauty, the full. Ooh. Yeah, all of that. So a couple of years ago, I got a hold of, basically I heard this interview and I forgot who it was. It was one of the Bethel people, singers, worship leaders,
uh-huh,
lady, can't remember her name, But because I'm a huge TED Talk fan.
Yeah.
I'm a huge education fan. I would just like listen and absorb, and I would research neuroplasticity, and you know, Carol.
Love her. Yes.
Fan, Brené Brown. So I've read all these books, and I saw this interview, and this lady, bless her, she was just being very, very honest. And she said, when someone asked her, how did you get to that point in your relationship with God, to that you have that real relationship and connection day to day?
Mm-hmm.
She said she just made a decision one day when she was in uni or somewhere that she would turn up every single day for prayer, whether she feels like it. Whatever, if she feels like it or she doesn't feel like it at all, whether it's boring or exciting, she will turn up. So I was like, great idea. I'm going to do that. And I did. And I think I had the driest 5 days, first 5 days of prayer I've ever had. Well, not ever had, but it was dry. I was like, what else can I say?
Yeah.
You know, and then suddenly things started changing. Oof. And I was like, oh my God, where have I been all this time? It's almost like he's been waiting.
Come on.
And you know, I finally turned my whole heart towards him. And it's just after that, there's no, I guess, going back. Then it's just a new dimension. And I remember I even did this thing, almost like I did a fast, and then I made a decision. I will pray every morning, not evening, not, you know, I need to do it before my day starts so I don't get caught in my emotions, people, I don't know, anything. I just want a clear head before I start my day. And I remember I was also on tour, and it was so hard. We would go to bed at past midnight, and we would have to wake up at 6 a.m. And I knew that I needed to wake up at 4 or 4:30 to pray for an hour. That was my other condition. I'll pray for an hour. Yeah. But you'll be surprised what happens when you press in.
Oof.
And you just, because we all experience it. We all experience our thoughts going just nuts, and you're trying to pray, but your head is telling you, did you switch off that thing, or what are you gonna cook for dinner? And even like, oh, do you remember what that person did to you yesterday? Oh my gosh. So sometimes it is what it is, but we're people, we're flesh, and God knows it. But when you press in, when you really press in, there's a reward. And another thing is, I've seen that there is no end to the depths of his nature. There's always more, always. So it's not like with people you might get a sense of, oh, I've lived with them for all my life, I know them inside out, there's nothing exciting anymore. Or sometimes it's like a bit boring. No, it's a completely different thing. And it's just, getting to know him and his nature. And for the, I guess, first time in my life, I would leave space in my prayer to listen what he's saying, because I've never done that. I would be just, God, thank you for this, for that. I praise you sometimes. I need help there and there. And can you bless that person? Blah, blah, blah.
Amen. Yeah.
I don't know, half an hour you can spend on these things, but actually to leave space for him to talk to you, to ask him a question, like, how do you see me? What do you think about me? And then you listen. And it's just, it has been the most amazing revelation and experience for me. I just didn't know it's available, but again, by after listening to so many, I guess, sermons of Bill Johnson, podcasts and interviews of how people experience God different ways.
Yeah.
I realized, well, actually, there is so much more that I haven't experienced that I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, Tanya, girl, that is the wisdom nugget. That is the juice. You just, man, I'm pretty sure that just kind of rocked my world right now. Just remembering the depths of God and how we are just, I mean, we can't even say we're scratching the surface because he's an eternal being, but like he's never ending. There's so much more to him. And to me, I think that's what really draws me into prayer, because for me, prayer is the great adventure. Like I am there, you know, as a three, especially where you think you can just check off things and it's done. The cool thing is, it's like, I'm never done with the Lord, meaning not that he's something that I need to like put on a checklist in a very impersonal way, but like, there's always something new to explore, you know, there's always something new to see and to experience. And I just think there's going to be quite a few people that are just blessed by what you just shared in these last like 10 minutes. That is fire. Like that is so, oh my word. I want to know, what are you dreaming up for your future? Like, what are some of the dreams that you and the Lord are talking about, you know, for your future? I know you don't know all the things and you're, you know, but you know, we started this conversation, you were very busy. You're staying very creative. And I'm just curious, like, and you might not have even been thinking about this in the season, which is totally fine. And that's a valid answer too. But what are some of the things that you'd love to step into in 2021 and beyond? Whether that is producing, recording again, touring with a specific artist, I'd love for you to share.
Yeah. So the first things that came to my mind, can I just quickly go back to the prayer thing?
Yes.
Or I don't know if it ever helps anyone, that would be amazing. I'll just say,
Mom, one please. Thing.
For people who don't feel like praying or feel like it's boring or it's just like, oh, how can you pray every day? How can you pray every day for an hour? It's crazy. Like, you really don't have to follow a schedule of what you're going to do, how many minutes for. Like, it was a huge revelation to me that you can just worship, you can sing to him. For the whole hour, half an hour, don't say anything else. Just worship him. Worship him. Exalt his name. That's it. That can be you for the day. Done. It can be just, I remember, a couple of times I was just stuck and I was tired and it was in lockdown. So I was like emotionally a little bit drained. This is long.
Yeah.
And I took Psalms. I started reading Psalms out loud and sort of making them as if I would be the one saying all those things.
Yeah.
And then it escalated from there. So sometimes you pray the word, really, Bible. But it's amazing what just the prayer and worship can do. Ooh. That is amazing.
Ooh.
That's done. Okay, I've said it.
No, listen, you can keep going as far as I'm concerned. You can just keep going, honestly.
it's been a journey. It's been honestly, I'm grateful to certain people who have encouraged me and who have prayed for me. And even sometimes I'm like super independent, like, oh, I don't need any help. I don't need any prayer. I can pray for myself. Yeah. And it was, honestly, one more time, I'm just going to say, we need people.
Come on.
Sometimes we need to confide. No, just say what's been bothering you. Say, I don't know, your sin out loud so the shame can have no grip over you. Because once you've said it, it's like, it's almost like it breaks the power of shame, whatever that is, you know. That's why people, but obviously make sure that it's really pray for those people. Pray for, so it's not just anyone. Pray for that they're mature enough to be able to guide you. Ask the Lord for it. Yeah, so is that.
Regarding, so good.
Regarding plans and prayers, I'm just looking at my vision board.
Yes!
It's right there.
Ready. Love it.
You know what? To be honest, when you first asked the question to me, things that came to my mind are not very spiritual.
Can you just share them, please? Okay, come on, get out of here.
I want to buy my dad a car. Yes. I want to pay for a family holiday for all of us to go. It's basically financial things.
Yes.
That's what it is. And be able to move from a place where I trade my time for money, as in a gig or a session somewhere in the studio, to something that can, you know, give me income even when I'm not there. Yes. Whether it's education course or library music, that's why I started it.
Beautiful.
Because I don't think I'll be gigging forever, even though I've had some amazing experiences and, you know, it's great, but it's just, there's so much more.
Yeah.
So financial aspect, definitely.
Yeah.
What else? Well, I can just read things.
Yeah.
Vision board.
Yeah, pick two more things because so we know what to be praying for you as well.
Yeah, so when I went to Bethel last year for creativity conference, it was 5 days, and when I showed them, so basically you could show them your art or your music, in my case it was art, and they would give you feedback. And the person, he didn't say much at all, but he said, pray, like partner with God in your art. Partner with him. And that's it. And I was like, not that deep. Thanks. At the same time, I realized I actually don't really know what that means.
Okay.
Like, so, yeah, before I, and for me, it was really being intentional about it. Sure. Before I paint a new painting, create a new track, or even just play, record myself, I don't know, I would just ask Holy Spirit to help me and to show me that aspect, like what is it like to partner with him.
Yeah.
And I'm still learning it, I'm still, you know, discovering it. Yeah. What else?
Just one more thing.
I don't know. It's funny because even though I'm single, but the husband is not on the vision board, I feel bad about it. But I was like,
that's a funny mine. That my vision board is the same way this year. There's like no reference. I'm single still, and there's no reference to any person or any romance on my vision board, which is really rare for me. If you know me, people are like, "What? There's no wedding dress on this vision board?" But that actually segues me into my last set of questions for you, because people are going to want to know: are you single? And you just shared that you are. Wait, are you single? Yes. And just kind of briefly, how are you, like, what, how do I phrase this? Are you wanting to be in a relationship? Do you feel like this is just still the time to kind of pursue and be on your grind and be in your calling? Or would you like, you know, do you feel like you're getting ready to enter that season of like companionship? Or what's your heart's desire in this? And how are you, I know this is like a lot of questions, I'm asking for like a minimal answer, but like, how are you navigating this season? Because you're beautiful, you're smart, you're gorgeous. And then you're seen because of what you do for a living, you know, people see you. And so, just how do you navigate like dudes coming up to you and trying to be like, hey girl, hi, what's up? How does that, is that what they say? I don't know. But yeah, how do you navigate that? And then, what are you looking for in a man, if you are looking for something?
Oh,
okay. That was like a lot. That was rapid fire. And I'm trying to wrap this conversation up for you, but I want to get all those answers.
Yeah. So what was the first question?
I know. I gave you like 12. I gave you like 12 questions. Number one, are you single?
Yeah.
Are you single and are you wanting to be married? Do you basically want companionship in this season? And then if so, what are you looking for?
It's a weird answer. I don't mind because the thought of marriage, it does kind of freak me out a little bit, mainly because I know that it's going to be a time of, you can't be selfish basically when you're married, and you know, it's hard. So I'm sort of like a little nervous about even the whole, the whole marriage thing. Mm-hmm. But overall, I would say companionship definitely is something that I would love to see in my life. More like partnership, companionship, yes. Now, I don't know. I'm kind of enjoying myself. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, I'm sure if I meet someone who really, you know, I'm praying about it, and I've given it to in God's hands. So, yeah.
What are you looking for? What are you looking for in a guy?
There's one new thing that appeared on my like list or mental list.
Yeah.
Is to be able to work. To be able to work through a conflict and be on the same page, communication.
Yeah.
I just think it's so important. It's probably more important than most things in marriage. I guess respect towards each other.
Yeah.
That you never, well, you shouldn't cross the lines of, you know, the boundaries of, respect. And just being able to talk through things and come to some sort of conclusion, and for him to actually be able to listen to something that might be completely different perspective, because men and women are different, you know.
Yeah.
So is that, along with, I don't know, the usual things that are integrity, kindness, good sense of humor.
Come on.
Not a fussy eater.
Oh, wow, she was very passionate about that. Okay.
I've seen some couples and how much effort goes into catering to this one person who just doesn't eat so many things. I'm like, I'm not sure I can do that.
Yeah. You know what you said, like in regards to someone who's willing to work through conflict. I had a conversation in season one with Bianca, and you know, her and Kenny do a lot of like premarital counseling and counseling for couples, you know, at their church. And I was asking her, like, what is something like that she's seen as like, you know, success or like is working in relationships? So she's kind of getting an overview of things. And she mentioned, she was like, it's really not like necessarily the attraction or the charisma or you having so many similar things in common that keeps you together. It's the ability to both want to do the work. To want to basically do the work. And I think too, like working through conflict, that is definitely a key thing. And being able to be in it, like in the relationship and doing the work, being willing to do the work. So I just thought that was a great reminder and a refresher, you know, for those of us that have, you know, we have been around for, you know, a little bit. We know sort of what we are worth, number one, as women. We know like the beauty of covenant, like covenant marriage and godly marriage. Like we know that, but I love still, you know, talking to people that are either married and are in healthy marriages, are navigating their singleness in a healthy way, because I just feel like there's still always something to learn and, you know, or just to be reminded of. And lastly, I was curious, like, how do you navigate, like, being a female, like, in the music industry, being like a, you know, music producer or someone who's like visible, like you're playing keys or whatever when you're in a gig, and you're in these clubs or whatever, and then like guys are trying to come up to you. Like, how do you handle that? Do you just kind of like just run away, or do you just kind of like gracefully just say, no, thank you? Like, cause I want to also like let our Christian girls know, like you can be in your place of calling. And, you know, I work in Hollywood, you know that I work in the entertainment industry. I know that you work in the music industry, and we're both women. But I feel like too, and what I love about Bobby, who's going to eventually be on this podcast as well, because she's just brilliant in so many ways. But like, she uses this phrase, and I've heard it in other places, like, celebrating but also managing your sexuality. And you know, she's got this great book called Sacred Sexuality, and it's just incredible and super like it. I told her, I was like, girl, I gotta, like, I'm only halfway through the book and that's been like 2 years, because it's so meaty and it's so, there's a lot of things. But back to the whole thing of like, how do you manage those situations as a woman being in these settings, which are predominantly masculine, predominantly male a lot of times? How do you sort of protect yourself and your heart and your sexuality in these spaces? Just practically, like speaking.
Good question. Well, first thing is I definitely pray that I'm never in places where I shouldn't be. Mm. If that makes sense.
Yep.
Because sometimes I just don't know, someone, like some people would, I remember they would say, oh, let's write together, let's co-produce a track. And I would feel certain vibes. And so I would not be sure whether it's because he fancies me or he wants something from me, or is just genuine, you know? So I would just, yeah, I would pray. I would say, God, if there are any potential situations that would compromise, I don't know, or something bad would happen, just take them away from me. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing.
Yeah.
The other thing, I wouldn't say that many people come up to me and be like, yo.
What? I'm surprised. I'm really honestly surprised.
I've heard people say, oh, you come across as very guarded. Mm. And it is, I guess it is true.
Okay.
I don't know. But yeah, if there are any situations that are like, yeah, I've been in them, like gray area, I'm not sure what's happening, is this, I just either remove myself from the situation.
Yeah.
Or yeah, I don't even know what to say. How do you navigate?
Because I think you honestly are navigating it. You just probably are not as conscious or aware of what it is you're actually doing. And I think two things that I just garnered from what you just said, the response from other people on the outside, you know, because you're saying you're not getting a lot of people coming up to you because you're guarded. And I think because you have a healthy boundary, and perhaps too, it's not the season.
Yeah, Patrice, boundaries is a huge thing. Figure it out early. Mm. Like, what are your, like, what you're not comfortable with? What are the cues? And to be honest, sometimes you don't know. Like, when I first started this whole co-producing, co-creating thing,
yeah,
I didn't know that creative vibes can be so attractive.
Yeah,
they actually paint a picture that you are attracted to the person, but actually no, it's the creative vibes that do that.
Yeah.
So that was learned. I didn't know it. Now I guess it's a lot easier.
Uh-huh.
And maybe I just work with a lot of married Christian men. I don't really experience the depth of these, I guess, issues or anymore.
Yeah.
Cause I'm not, I haven't said, so last year I felt like God was saying, and I felt it very strongly, I knew that's the case, I should stop doing all the function gigs.
Wow.
All the band kind of, the most generic sort of function gigs.
Okay.
I just, yeah, so I think that removed a lot of situations, potential situations.
Okay.
So.
That's huge. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think if it's not lust, if it's actually he's being, you know, his intentions are good, he's probably not gonna message you past midnight or trying to chat you up in, like, I don't know, at weird times in weird places. Even if you work together, he's probably gonna respectfully send you a message during the daytime saying, hey, actually, I've been thinking maybe we should go for a drink versus some steamy kiss in like a basement studio, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm not about that. Probably. It's just, also, I think I can recognize fairly quickly now, like what might be going on here.
Good.
So I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. Woo.
But
yeah, exactly. I mean, I think the discernment, like you said, you grow in discernment, and that's happened for me in my field because, you know, I've seen for me in the last 15 years, like I would be, you know, the only female backstage, you know, and these are like very masculine, not believers. So they're very like just raw with their speech and the vibes that they're giving off are, there's no mixed signals. You already know that it's just like, they're trying to hit it and quit it type of vibe. And learning how to, for me, like I had to really make it known. Number one, that was like, hey, you know, I'm a Christian girl. Like, and that sort of, you know, began to, you know, the word got out. And then they would start to see like who I was just in life and how I acted. And, you know, there's, you know, there are still those that will like, you know, still try to like flirt or what have you. But like we talked about, the boundaries are like I have, and hopefully I'm growing in healthy boundaries, you know, especially with being in a creative industry where there are all those creative vibes. And there is that sort of, I love how you phrase that. Like, I actually never heard it put that way, because it's like, you do start to like, the attraction starts to build in this creative atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And it's, and everybody's looking beautiful. Everybody's looking just, it's like, oh my gosh, it's magical. and actually, and then you realize, wait a minute, I'm not actually attracted to the integrity, the character or whatever of this person. It was just this whole atmosphere that was sort of created. And I think that actually is not just for our field and not just for people that are in the creative industries, but it's for any industry, like to be cognizant of like, am I just getting caught up in the sort of the atmosphere of what's happening? And am I really looking, you know, with real eyes at this person? Or yeah, I don't know. I just, that's going to give me something to really chew on and think about beyond this conversation. So the last thing I usually ask everyone on these conversations or in these conversations is what's, because this is called Patrice's playlist. What are three songs that are currently on your playlist now? And this means a lot because you are a music producer. So I'm like, this means a lot.
Let me have a look. I have to say, I haven't listened to music for quite a while.
Oh my gosh, it could be anything. It literally...
in producing it. So I was like, oh, silence is my best music now.
No, it's great.
Top three songs, did you say?
Yeah. Whatever's on your playlist right now or that you would like to share with us that we should know about, or an artist that we should know about that we don't know about that might not necessarily be on your playlist now, but if there's an artist that you think we should be knowing, should know about.
I'm pretty sure a lot of people already know her. Yebba.
Yeah.
So she is sort of releasing one song in like a, I don't know, a year or something that feels like a year, but it's just so good in production and people involved and because it's awful.
Yeah.
What else? It really changes. I have top.
But even before like COVID broke out, you know, if you have to go back to those archives, what are two others that you were listening to?
One album I really loved and I was listening a lot to it is by Jordan Rakai. Hmm. Yeah, he's a UK guy. He's not like mainstream. He is, what is he? Soul, jazz. Yeah, his last album, Origin, is incredible.
Okay.
Everything. So I'm a huge fan.
Okay.
It's more of a, like a muso thing, but at the same time, their songs very well produced. I just, yeah, I love it. So Jordan Rakai.
Okay.
Origin album.
Origin.
Oh, another UK group. But I don't think they're doing any more music. They're called These Your Children. They're Christian.
Yes. Yes. I love their stuff, but they're not a band anymore, is what you're saying? Or
they are doing their solo projects. It's a duo. So, and I've been playing for, well, half of that duo. His name is Joe Baxter. He's great. Okay. So he's like UK singer-songwriter.
Okay.
I've been listening to a lot of Hans Zimmer, the soundtrack.
Okay. Are you trying to score stuff? Are you wanting to do some score later on in your future?
I think so. I think so. Yes, definitely. And Jake Isaac is releasing his new song, so he's great.
Yeah.
Oh, Wonder, another UK group.
Oh, look at now you're giving like now. Okay, you see, you already was like five already. See, I was like, you're like, I don't know who to say. Now you have like five. That's fine. It's totally fine.
Yeah, there are a lot more.
I know. That's why I have to limit it to three. I got to tell all my musician people, only give us three, because that's going to give me some good things to like research and look up. So I'm excited about that. Well, we've already, you know, been chit-chatting, talking for over an hour, and that happened. And I'm just so glad I got to see your face, got to hear your voice, learn some more about your journey. And I can't wait to share your music with all my people. And thank you for allowing me to use your track Home for this season. By the way, my last question, I guess my for real last question is, what inspired Home, that particular track? Was it just you just experimenting and trying sounds out? Or what made you sort of approach that song?
The music or the lyrics?
Yes.
Both?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll say both. Yes.
Music. Yeah. I was just playing around with sounds, chords, ideas. So the music came first.
Okay.
And then I can't remember whether it was me or Yvonne or Bianca Rose who co-wrote the track, the lyrics. There was this line, it feels like home. So I was like, yeah, that's the name. This is what it's going to be about. And from there, kind of, it escalated. Shall I say that? Yeah.
I love it. It's beautiful. It's so good, Tanya. Oh my gosh. I'm going to listen to it after I get off of this conversation. I'm just going to listen to it again. Well, thank you so much for taking time to sit down with me and to do this. I know it's probably a little bit out of your comfort zone, maybe. yeah. But I'm so thankful that you did this. And there's so many people I feel like that know about you in our circle of friends, you know, and you're famous in our circle of friends, but I feel like there's so many for real, like you are. But I cannot wait for other producers in the States especially to discover you and to see, yeah, just the gift that you have, which is such a blessing. So
thank you, Patrice.
You're welcome. Well, I'm excited. We're gonna be praying for the things that you mentioned earlier. That's why I usually ask, like, what is on your heart? You know, what are you dreaming up for? I think I did this the last time when we sat together.
I remember the last thing, the third thing that I was going to say.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really praying about, I guess I'm developing my ear to hear God, to really, and not just occasionally, but to be able to hear him on different subjects and little things and big things, but to really, more frequently.
Yeah.
Really hearing him. What he's saying, so it's not just, you know, my idea, or but it's just to really know that, okay, this is God's voice. And because I know he speaks and he does all the time, it's just me being in tune with that. Yeah, so that would be the thing.
That's a good one, because that's for all of us, and I think I want that too. So we all want that. So we're going to end on that note. Thank you again, Tanya. I will reach out to you later on, probably just to keep you up to date when we're going to, you know, share this. But yeah, loved having you. And that's it.
Thanks. You too. And Patrice, love you.
Love you. I love that Tanya encouraged us to adapt our true lifestyle of prayer and intimacy with God as we pursue our dreams and our purpose in God. I think it's super vital. If you want to find out more about Tanya, you can look in the show notes, and you can find me at Together Good Co on Instagram. I have to wrap this up super fast, but I will talk to you guys on the next episode. Be blessed. I earned my place beside you.